RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, fellow listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Indonesian tourism promotion through social media is very important for targeting young people. Indonesian government activates program to draw foreign tourist attention across border areas. World Bank's approved $400 million loan for Indonesian fiscal policy reform. Now the news in detail. Indonesian government, through the Ministry of Tourism, is heavily promoting tourism destinations in Indonesia through various medias, including social media. It was announced by Deputy Secretary of Tourism Marketing Development Abroad, Indonesian Ministry of Tourism, Niwayan Giri Adnyani, in the event of Diplomatic Forum held by RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Niwayan said, the Ministry of Tourism has also worked with well-known and influential figures in the target countries of Indonesian tourism market to promote tourism in Indonesia.
Yes, we do have our website indonesia.travels to promote Indonesia, and then we do also use social media like Facebook, Twitter, and then we also have a cooperation with several influencers from our market, like from China, who have followers, like thousands or millions of followers.
Niwayan added, in promoting Indonesian tourism, the ministry is not only to promote Indonesia's tourism destination, but also promoting the industry aspects. On similar views, the Economic Observer and Tourism University of Pajajaran, Poppy Rufaidah, said, social media is an excellent instrument to promote Indonesian tourism, especially for targeting young people. According to Poppy Rufaidah, an intensive information through medias, including social media, is very important at this time to build the branding Wonderful Indonesia. Other speakers attending the diplomatic forum on the theme Enhancing Growth Through Visa-Free Policy was the French ambassador to Indonesia, Corinne Bruce, and Panca Putra Hadi, head of IT and research and development of the Association of the Indonesian Tours and Travel Agencies, ASITA. Secretary to the Deputy International Tourism Market Development of Indonesian Tourism Ministry, Niwayan Giri Adnyani, after Diplomatic Forum talk show held by RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, said that Indonesian border areas with other countries have become the government's serious attention to attract foreign tourists by activating special program. She said actually the program done by the government is not only to draw more foreign tourist attention, but also to preserve the local tradition and culture of the border areas.
Kita bahkan punya program cross border program kok. Kita bikin event-event di cross border.
The Indonesian Tourism Ministry has a cross-border programs. It makes programs in West and East Kalimantan. Even it makes programs in Atambua border. Batam is also a cross-border. Indonesian Tourism Ministry also activates the program there. On the one hand, the program is for the unitary state of the Republic of Indonesia, but also for the pride of the people in the border areas. So, Indonesian Tourism Ministry only focuses on making the number of foreign tourists coming to Indonesia. Furthermore, Niwayan Giri Adnyani further said the Indonesian Tourism Ministry keeps on encouraging other stakeholders to promote the Indonesian tourism destination areas by selling souvenirs or merchandise with international quality, so that the Indonesian souvenirs or merchandises will be widely known among foreign countries. An economic and tourism observer from Bandung-based Pajajaran University, Poppy Rufaidah, to media after diplomatic forum talk show held by RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta said that the Indonesian government must optimize traditional culinary tourism to draw more attention of foreign tourists to visit Indonesia. She said the government must boost cooperation with tourism component, such as tourism association industry, which is expected to promote Indonesian culinary tourism to foreign countries.
Berdasarkan World Travel and Tourism Index tahun 2015.
Based on World Travel and Tourism Index 2015, Indonesia rank was the 50th of 114 indicators. But for culinary price, Indonesia was in the third rank. Indonesia must optimize it that Indonesia can defeat other countries such as in price competitiveness and heritage tourism. Then Indonesia's nature is more excellent than that of other countries. And now how the Indonesian government optimizes the tourism culinary by asking other tourism components industry. Moreover, Poppy Rufaidah said, most of European tourists are interested in looking for Indonesian culinary tourism, so Indonesian government must encourage management of hotels, cafes, and restaurants to serve Indonesian traditional food with complete information such as the percentage of the nutrition, the food contain, the food origin, and other information. Poppy said those concepts will boost the number of foreign tourists to visit Indonesia. The World Bank on Wednesday approved $400 million loan to boost Indonesia's revenue collection and improve the quality of government spending. The loan adopt the Fiscal Reform Development Policy Loan, which support government policy and institutional reforms to improve revenue collection and spending, all deemed key elements in accelerating growth, reducing poverty, and distributing prosperity more widely. Rodrigo Chavez, World Bank Country Director for Indonesia, said fiscal reforms will allow the government to allocate more funds to programs that will directly benefit the poor. Relative to its regional and emerging market peers, Indonesia has one of the lowest revenue and tax ratios compared to its gross domestic product. The country's revenue to GDP ratio is 13.1% and tax to GDP 10.8% ratios in 2015. It is estimated that Indonesia collects less than half of its potential tax revenue. The World Bank said inadequate budgeting for key investments had led to a large infrastructure deficit, which impedes growth potential, and to underspending on healthcare and social assistance program, which increases vulnerability to poverty. This news comes to you from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Indonesian government plans to inject 53.98 trillion rupiah or $3.94 billion of capital into 24 state firms this year, pending approval by the Parliament, according to a Finance Ministry document on revisions to the 2016 state budget. The document, which was uploaded on Thursday, mentioned a plan for capital injections into Wijaya Karya, Jasa Marga, Krakatau Steel, and Pembangunan Perumahan and Perusahaan Listrik Negara PLN, among others. Last year, Parliament blocked a government plan for 40.43 trillion rupiah of capital injection into state firms in 2016. Parliament will hold its first hearing into the budget revisions later on Thursday. Bank Indonesia has called for the development of smart cities throughout the country in a bid to boost the economy amid a fast-growing population and low-quality urbanization. According to the United Nations World Urbanization Prospects, the Indonesian population grew at a faster rate than a global population. While the global population recorded annual growth of 1.27%, Indonesia's population grew 1.35% per year. Likewise, the country's urban population grew 3.51% annually, higher than the global urban population, which increased 2.24% per year. Unfortunately, in Indonesia, high urban growth has not led to stronger economic growth. BI Director of Economic and Monetary Policy Arief Hartawan said the amount of infrastructure in a city should make individuals and companies increase productivity, innovation, business, and economic growth. In Indonesia, 1% of urbanization accounts for only 2% of gross domestic product GDP per capita, according to a 2012 World Bank report. In Thailand, Vietnam, and India, it contributes 10%, 8%, and 6% GDP per capita, respectively. The last item, Malaysia's government has fired 15 immigration officers, it says, help international syndicates sabotage online passport checks for years in a way that allowed some travelers to move freely in and out the country. Suspicions were raised by frequent collapses of the online system at the country's main international airport that is linked to Interpol's lost and stolen passport database. Immigration Director General Saqib Kusmin said in a statement Tuesday that the sabotage likely started in 2010 and was headed by foreign agents. He told local media that the accused officers helped syndicates hack the system and that the breach could have facilitated human trafficking or allowed militants to travel undetected. He said in addition to the firings, administrative action was taken against 22 other officers. The investigation was ongoing. Deputy Prime Minister of Malaysia, Zahid Hamid, has said that some 100 officers were under investigation. That was the news. Listener, welcome to our commentary today entitled Back to Pancasila. Yesterday, Wednesday, June the 1st, on an occasion, Indonesian President Joko Widodo announced that June the 1st is designated as the birth of Pancasila and declared it a national holiday. During this time, it has not been decided yet whether it is important to commemorate the anniversary of the Republic of Indonesia. There are various views about it, especially if linked to the nation's figures that played a role in initiating the five principles which were regarded sacred in the New Order era. June 1, 1945 was the last session of Investigation Agency of Preparation for Independence, BPUPK, to formulate the basis of the Indonesian state. On that day, Sukarno, who later became the President of the Republic of Indonesia, delivered a speech entitled The Birth of Pancasila. A number of parties expressed that through the speech of Sukarno, Pancasila was formulated. But in its development, June the 1st seemed to be neglected by the activities of the Indonesian Communist Party, marked by a decision to make October the 1st as Pancasila Sanctity Day. Pancasila is believed to be the quintessence of the noble values and local wisdom. Hence, the practice of all its five principles is not difficult in the nation. Experience proved that Pancasila is able to glue the Indonesian population with many different backgrounds. But the passing of time also reveals that temptation of imported ideology started to get stronger, as if Pancasila is no longer suited to the current condition. Looking at it, it is natural and necessary if the government set June the 1st as the day of the birth of Pancasila in order to become a momentum to bring the Indonesian nation back on Pancasila. The relevance of Pancasila related to today's global issues, such as democracy and human rights enforcement, no longer need to be questioned. The second principle of fair and civilized humanity clearly shows respect for others. Similarly, the first principle, democracy led by the inner wisdom of deliberations of representatives, shows that democracy in Indonesia is based on the value of deliberation. Therefore, this time it just depends on how the Indonesian people learn from the long historical record on the effort to implement Pancasila. Formally, Pancasila was once neglected following the strong struggle of political parties of the country and the presence of guided democracy. Then there is an era in which Pancasila was implanted in indoctrination that closes the emergence of views and critical questions. In the era of the Reformation, modeling becomes an important factor in expanding the appreciation and operationalization of Pancasila in daily life. If successful, it does not only affect the acceleration of Indonesia's own development, but also an impact on the growing role of Indonesia in creating a better world. That was commentary.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, it's nice to be with you again in our regular program Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Well, we start for an event on June 2, 1967, when students had organized demonstration against the official visit of Shah of Iran. On June 2, 1967, the conflict would finally escalate. Students had organized demonstration against the official visit by Shah of Iran. In their opinion, the German government was demonstrating a positive attitude towards a dictatorial government that was suppressing and torturing its own people. During the past demonstration in front of the Opera House, which the Shah was visiting, the police of Berlin and the Iranian service attacked the protesters. In the turmoil, the unarmed student Beno Onesort was shot in the head from behind and killed by police sergeant Karl-Heinz Kurest. Following the days, so many demonstrations throughout the whole republic against what was perceived as a police brutality. The students in Berlin, however, were anxious and in a desperate situation. The police were preventing them from gathering in public. The university had submitted their authority to the government, and the press wrote that the students were the brutal and aggressive component of the demonstration and that they had provoked the death of Beno Onesort. Even though there were some student groups supporting the idea of violent revolution, the protesting students were mostly peaceful. For the following days, the students took over control of the Free University of Berlin. Finally, being able to meet again, they used the time to discuss and reflect on the events of the past days. The next event was in 1970 when Bruce McLaren died. Bruce Leslie McLaren was a New Zealand race car designer, driver, engineer, and inventor. His name lives on the McLaren team, which has been one of the most successful in Formula One championship history, with McLaren cars and drivers winning a total of 20 world championships. McLaren cars totally dominated Can-Am sport car racing with 56 wins, a considerable number of them with him behind the wheel. Between 1967 and 1972, and five constructors championships, and have won three Indianapolis 500 races as well as the 24 hours of Le Mans and 12 hours Sebring. Bruce McLaren died on age 32 when his Can-Am car crashed on the Lavon Straight just before Woodcote Corner at the Goodwood Circuit in England on the 2nd of June 1970. He had been testing his new AMT-AD when the rear body board came adrift at speed. The loss of an aerodynamic downforce destabilized the car, which spun, led the track and hit the bunker used as a flat station. Well, listener, the last event was in 1986 when Slamet Mulyana, an Indonesian philologist and historian, died. Slamet Mulyana was an Indonesian philologist and historian. He taught at Gajah Mada University, Information Academy, and Journalism Academy. He also has studied in foreign countries such as Wolfgang Goethe Universität, Frankfurt, Germany, State University of New York, Albany, United States, and Nanyang University of Singapore. Besides, Slamet Mulyana has served as a director of Institute of Language and Culture in Singapore as well as a member of board of curators at the Institute of Southeast Asian Studies in Singapore. Well, listener, that was Today in History, presented by Rahmana.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, Daily News and Events.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with today's focus entitled Only 1% of Small and Medium Enterprises in Jember Goes International. The ASEAN Economic Community AEC era by 2016 has spurred small and medium enterprises in the region to compete the global market. However, not all areas get a smooth path to enter the free market. Chairman of Jember Branch Executive Board of Indonesian Young Entrepreneurs Association in Rendra Wirawan Week 29 of May 2016 said that only about 400 units of small and medium enterprises joins the association in Jember. But most of the scope of the market is still local and national. Only 1% product of the small and medium enterprises can enter the global market. Rendra said 1% of the products already exported are processed products that include coffee, cocoa, tobacco, handicrafts, and batik Jember. He said Jember flagship product is still agro-industry because Jember is a plantation area. Therefore, batik handicraft products of the most attractive foreign markets is also plantation. Meanwhile, according to Indri Wulandari, one of businesses whose products are go international to get into the global market competition is quite tough because employers are required to have a spirit of entrepreneurship and the need to maintain the high quality products as well as to take care of all licensing export. According to her, it became an important point to improve the competitiveness of the ASEAN free trade era. Representative of the Ministry of Industry who attended the association's meeting, Musnidar, explained exhibition is one instrument to expand market share both nationally and internationally. Besides, there should be synergy between the government and business organizations such as HIMPI. The meeting of Jember Branch Indonesian Young Entrepreneurs Association in 2016 took a theme of the rise of young entrepreneurs' role in strengthening the local economy. The theme is expected to develop the ability and the role of young entrepreneurs to jointly participate in strengthening the local economy. That was Focus. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, with news in brief. Indonesian government through the Ministry of Tourism is heavily promoting tourism destinations in Indonesia through various medias, including social media. It was announced by Deputy Secretary of Tourism Marketing Development Abroad, Indonesian Ministry of Tourism Niwayan Giri Adnyani, in the event of Diplomatic Forum in Jakarta Wednesday. Secretary to the Deputy for International Tourism Market Development of Indonesian Tourism Ministry, Niwayan Giri Adnyani, after Diplomatic Forum talk show held by RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, said that Indonesian border areas with other countries have become the government's serious attention to attract foreign tourists by activating special program. An economic and tourism observer from Bandung-based Pajajaran University, Poppy Rufaida, to media after Diplomatic Forum talk show held by RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, said that Indonesian government must optimize traditional culinary tourism to draw more attention of foreign tourists to visit Indonesia. The World Bank on Wednesday approved $400 million loan to boost Indonesia's revenue collection and improve the quality of government spending. The loan, dubbed the Fiscal Reform Development Policy Loan, would support government policy and institutional reform to improve revenue collection and spending, all deemed key elements in accelerating growth, reducing poverty, and distributing prosperity more widely. The Indonesian government plans to inject 53.98 trillion rupiah or $3.94 billion of capital into 24 state firms this year, pending approval by the parliament, according to a finance ministry document on revisions to the 2016 state budget. The document, which was uploaded on Thursday, mentioned a plan for capital injections into Wijaya Karya, Jasa Marga, Krakatau Steel, and Pembangunan Perumahan and Perusahaan Listrik Negara, among others. Bank Indonesia has called for the development of smart cities throughout the country in a bid to boost the economy amid a fast-growing population and low-quality urbanization. Malaysia's government has fired 15 immigration officers it said helped international syndicates sabotage online passport checks for years in a way that allowed some travelers to move freely in and out of the country. Suspicions were raised by frequent collapses of the online system of the country's main international airport that is linked to Interpol's lost and stolen passport database. Immigration Director General Saqib Kusmi said in a statement Tuesday that the sabotage likely started in 2010 and was headed by foreign agents. That was news in brief.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 95.25 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is a great pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll introduce you to Ruah Kubur Tradition. Stay tuned. Listener, in welcoming the fasting month of Ramadan, the Javanese community and other communities in Sumatra usually conducting Ruahan tradition. The word Ruah supposedly comes from the word Arwah, or spirit of the ancestors. From the word Arwah, the month is associated as the month of recalling the ancestors. Ruah or Nyadran is the eighth month and coincided with the month of Sya'ban of Hijriah. Usually in this tradition, people flocked to the cemetery's complex for pilgrimage. They bring food and crops to be distributed or eaten together after making a pilgrimage to the grave. Ruah tradition in Bangka, Bangka Belitung province, known as the Ruah Kubur or the Grave Pilgrimage Tradition. Ruah Kubur in a number of areas on the island of Bangka generally celebrated on different days. There were also celebrating before the fall of the 15th of Sya'ban, at precisely at 15th Sya'ban night or post 15th of Sya'ban. Besides celebrated on different days, the implementation of Ruah Kubur also has a distinctive shape in its region in Bangka. In Tempilang area, the Ruah Kubur is celebrated with tradisi perang ketupat or ketupat festivity tradition. While in Kretak village, the tradition is celebrated by visiting the traditional houses. Then in Metro Barat Sub-District, Ruah Kubur, is done with a visit to the people's houses and grave pilgrimage. Listeners, some time ago, thousands of residents of the Kretak village and surrounding Sungai Selat sub-district, Central Bangka Regency, flocked to mosque to commemorate Ruah Kubur. People usually present a variety of ketupat, side dishes, and other foods as an expression of gratitude to Allah or God Almighty. Before the peak of Ruah Kubur, residents recite Yasin, part of Quran verses, and Tahlilan celebration. For the people of Kretak village, Ruah Kubur ritual celebration has become a tradition since long times ago because it is considered as an opportunity to meet with family and relatives. Listener, to greet the guests, Kretak villagers had prepared everything such as decorating the house and provide a wide variety of food to be enjoyed together with the guests. The atmosphere of Ruah Kubur is a very festive celebration compared to the celebration of other religious holidays such as Idul Fitri, Idul Adha, and the birth of Prophet Muhammad. The atmosphere of the village seemed crowded and festive during the implementation of the Ruah Kubur tradition. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonderful Today with the topic Ruah Kubur. We will see you again tomorrow with other interesting topics. See you and sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listener, welcome back to our regular segment, Miscellany. In today's edition, we are going to inform you about Janggir Festival 2016. Listener, on June 3rd to 4th, there will be held a festival entitled Janggir Festival 2016 or Jayagiri Festival at the Jayagiri Field, Panumbangan Sub-District, Ciamis Regency, West Java. This festival will accommodate several potential arts and culture of Ciamis Regency, especially the northern part of the area. Janggir Festival gives motivation for artists and culturists in developing their qualified creativity in improving people's welfare. This event also used to promote tourism and culture and open an opportunity for the fishery trade and service in the north part of Ciamis. Janggir Festival 2016 presenting traditional and modern art performances as cultural attraction in order to welcome the fasting month of Ramadan. The festival will perform various attractions such as Jayagiri religious culture, Sinarasa Panjalu and Marawis, Pencaksilat, Jaipong dance, Ajan puppet performance, and mass praying. The participants of these events are people of Jayagiri, Panumbangan, and Panjalu Ciamis. From all performances, Wayang Ajen or the Ajen puppet become the most wanted show of the people. This kind of wayang or puppet was born from the process of young generation awareness towards the wooden puppet or wayang golek, which part of the creative exploration for Sundanese traditional art. Wayang Ajen is similar to wooden puppet or wayang golek, however, the performance of Wayang Ajen mostly use a collaboration between the art medias that can complete the show. Listener, Ciamis is one of regions in West Java. The distance is only about 278 kilometers from Jakarta. To reach the city, the journey will take 6 hours by land. But the sacrifice will be paid when you reach the natural tourism destination such as Green Canyon and Chittumang River. Besides, there are plenty of other destinations that barely touch, such as Curug Tujuh Cibolang or the Seven Waterfalls Cibolang that lies on Panjalu area. The place has an enchantment view that displays seven waterfalls at once. Meanwhile, the tourists can also visit Situ Lengkong Panjalu that has numerous historical sites from the Panjalu Kingdom. Well, listeners, that was our today's edition of Miscellany that informs you about Jangir Festival 2016. Thank you for listening and I'll see you again in the next edition of Miscellany. I'm Nugi Kusumawati. Sampai jumpa.
Again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, I will introduce you to an Indonesian pop singer, Amir Faisal. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Symphony Yang Indah. Happy listening.
Alun sebuah simfoni, kata hati disadari, merasuk sukma kalbuku dalam hati ada satu, manis lembut bisikanmu. Merdu lirik suaramu bagai pelita hidupku, berkilauan bintang malam, syair angin pun seduh, seakan hidup mendatang aku tempuh denganmu. Berpadunya dua insan, simfoni dan keindahan, melahirkan kedamaian, melahirkan kedamaian.
syair dan melodi, kau bagai aroma penghapus pilu, gelora di hati, bak mentari kau sejukkan hatiku, burung-burung pun bernyanyi, bunga pun lihat kau hibur hatiku, hatiku mekar kembali, terhibur simfoni, pasti hidupku kan bahagia.
The song's success to make Amir Faisal became an Indonesian pop singer around 1980s. The song, which was composed by Robbie Lea, became a hit in the music charts in the country after it has been dedicated by Amir Faisal. Even many other Indonesian pop singers joined to release the song Simfoni Yang Indah, such as Bob Tutupoli and Once, who was joined in the Dewa 19 group. Before we get to know more, Amir Faisal, who started his career as the winner of the Radio and Television Singing Competition or Bintang Radio dan Televisi. Let's listen to the next song entitled Mimpi Yang Mungil by Amir Faisal. Happy listening.
Mimpi selintas. Awan hitam berlari dariku, malamnya datang tak diundang. Lewat satu mimpi yang mungil, ketika mimpiku ceritakan, ada senyum di sudut bibirnya. Sekarang dia kalungkan janji, bulan merah senyum untukku. Oh mimpiku, oh mimpiku, datanglah dengan satu kenyataan yang jelas ku rindukan. Oh mimpiku, oh mimpiku, tanyakanlah padanya di mana dan kapan ia sukanya.
The singers of the 70s to 80s era in Indonesia were mostly born from the era that testing the vocal capabilities like Titiek Puspa, Harvey Balaiholo, including Amir Faisal. Amir Faisal won the BRTV, or Bintang Radio Televisi, singing competition of entertainment category in the 1980s. Since at that time, his singing career decisively began to explore the Indonesian pop music world. But from many albums, only one song that is likened by Indonesian fans in the country, namely Symphony Yang Indah. Well, listener, to conclude our program for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Kau and Cinta by Amir Faisal. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Tak pernah miskin akan doa. Kau yang menyalakan pelita dalam hidupku, jadi penerang jalanku. Langkah demi langkah, kau bagai berjuta mawar di hatiku. Kau ilham bagi syair dan laguku. Hatimu dan tutur sapamu menyejuk jiwaku. Aku rela jatuh dalam pelukanmu. Dengan doamu langkahku kian jadi pasti. Bagi syair dan laguku, hatimu dan tutur sapamu menyejuk jiwaku. Aku rela jatuh dalam pelukanmu. Jadi pasti aku rela membagi kasih denganmu. Walau ku tahu beribu tantangan untukku, aku rela
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Semati demikian kau ucapkan janji. Menangis kita berdua, tertawa bersama. Jadi segalanya kau tak peduli lagi. Nadia lebih menghancurkan kalbu. Kau bercumbu di depanku.
dan salahku. Mudahnya ia buat janji, semudah ia ingkar janji. Alangkah kejamnya cinta, alangkah pedihnya kejam. Oh kejam pedih, oh pedih cinta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.